Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday, April the 15th, Europe joins the United States in urging Israel to exercise restraint following Iran's weekend attack. Sudan marks a tragic one-year anniversary of civil war in which 15,000 people have died and 10.7 million have been displaced. And 5 years from the fire that destroyed Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, restoration is on track for a grand reopening on the 8th of December. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. European leaders have joined the United States in urging Israel to exercise restraint following Iran's weekend attack. On Sunday, Pope Francis expressed his concern that the spiral of violence could worsen, and he emphasized that no one should threaten the existence of others and that instead all nations should take the side of peace. Iran had launched the attack that involved more than 300 missiles and drones in retaliation for a suspected Israeli airstrike on its embassy compound in Syria on April the 1st. That attack killed seven Iranian Revolutionary Guards officers, including two senior commanders. It follows months of clashes between Israel and Iran's regional allies, triggered by the war in Gaza that has spread to fronts with Iran-aligned groups in Lebanon, Syria, Yemen and Iraq. The attack ultimately caused only modest damage in Israel. Most drones and missiles were shot down by Israel's Iron Dome defence system with help from the US, Britain, France and Jordan. Deborah Castellano-Lubov reports.
Israel's European allies urged it on Monday to show restraint over Iran's weekend missile and drone attack, calling on Israeli leaders to step away from the edge of the cliff of escalation in the Middle East. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's war cabinet, which is empowered to decide on the country's response, was set to convene on Monday afternoon. Israeli officials said the war cabinet, which also met on Sunday, favored retaliation but was divided over the timing and scale of any such response. With the danger of open warfare erupting between Israel and Iran and tension high over the war in Gaza, U.S. President Joe Biden has told Netanyahu the United States will not participate in any Israeli counteroffensive against Iran. Britain, France, Germany, and the European Union's foreign policy chief all joined Washington and the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres in calling for restraint. "We're on the edge of the cliff, and we have to move away from it," the EU's High Representative for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy told Spanish radio. "We have to step on the brakes and reverse gear." Meanwhile, French President Emmanuel Macron urged Israel to set its sights on isolating Iran rather than escalating the situation. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz warned Iran not to carry out more attacks and said Israel must also contribute to de-escalation. Russia has refrained from criticizing its ally Iran in public over the strikes, but expressed concern about the risk of escalation on Monday and also called for restraint. "Further escalation is in no one's interests," said Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
The war in Sudan broke out exactly 1 year ago. 12 months of fierce fighting and violence have caused a huge loss of life, the displacement of millions of people, acute hunger, and a tragic ongoing humanitarian crisis. As Francesca Merlo reports, Pope Francis has repeatedly appealed for peace in the Northeast African nation and prayed for its people.
The scale of the tragedy is catastrophic. In 1 year of war, at least 15,000 lives have been lost, 8 million people have been displaced, and another 25 million are reliant on humanitarian aid just to survive. In Sudan, the streets are riddled with corpses, and as the crisis progresses and worsens, funding for NGOs and UN agencies is dwindling, along with the hope of the people. The fighting between the paramilitary Rapid Support Forces and the Sudanese Armed Forces erupted in the capital Khartoum, triggering a cycle of violence that has spread far beyond the city. Nearly 18 million Sudanese now face acute hunger. Even before the war, Sudan's living conditions were harsh and unjust due to the economic instability and ethnic violence. Though humanitarian supplies are available, getting them to those in need remains an enormous challenge, and NGOs and aid organizations face looting, bureaucratic hurdles, and severe struggles with communication. As is often, if not always the case, women, children, and displaced people bear the brunt of the suffering. Children born amidst the violence face a difficult future, whilst malnourished mothers struggle to feed them. World leaders are convening in Paris to mark the anniversary of Sudan's war and address the crisis, highlighting the need for urgent action. Members of Sudan's civil society and local NGOs will be involved in the Paris meeting, but neither the Sudanese army nor the RSF will be represented. Time and time, Pope Francis has turned his thoughts to Sudan and prayed for the people and for an end to the war. His most recent appeal was launched on Sunday, the 18th of February, after praying the Angelus. On that occasion, the Pope recalled that the conflict in Sudan has led to a serious humanitarian situation, and he appealed, "I once again ask the warring parties to stop this war, which causes so much harm to the people and the future of the country. Let us pray that paths to peace are soon found to build the future of beloved Sudan." I am Francesca Merlo.
Areas in western Tanzania are dealing with massive flooding due to heavy rainfall in recent days that has caused death, destruction and displacement. Efforts to assist the estimated 17,000 people affected are underway. Thaddeus Jones has this report.
The refugee region of western Tanzania is struggling to deal with the effects of massive flooding that's caused one of the most serious humanitarian crises in years. Thousands of people are requiring immediate assistance with basic needs such as health care, nutrition, drinking water and sanitation, where the risk of waterborne diseases is rising. Fides News, the Catholic Church's missionary news agency, contacted Chameleon Disaster Service International that's working locally there. Floods from April 4th have caused great devastation, the agency reports, displacing thousands of families and destroying homes and washing away crops, as well as access to drinking water. The aid agency is particularly worried about the most vulnerable members of the area, including women, children, and the elderly. 17,000 have been affected by the floods in the western Muhoro district, where 75% of the area is underwater. Local populations have had to flee their homes and take shelter in primary school buildings that lack basic services, and thousands have been displaced in other districts as well. The Chameleon Disaster Service in Tanzania is working with the nation's government, local communities, and other humanitarian aid organizations to offer emergency assistance and reduce the high rates of disease and mortality already caused by poor nutrition and sanitation. The Chameleon organization will primarily work in the areas of health, nutrition, water, sanitation, and hygiene, especially for mothers and children, as well as providing purification tablets, hand-washing facilities, and clothing. The geographical location and seasonal rainfall patterns make this area historically prone to flooding, but the situation, they say, has been exacerbated in part by the operation of a nearby dam that, while representing an important source of renewable energy for Tanzania, has also changed the course of the main river there and thereby increasing the risk of flooding during periods of heavy rainfall, according to the experts there. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
Lawyers for Azerbaijan on Monday in the Netherlands urged the top United Nations court to throw out a case filed by Armenia linked to the long-running dispute over the Nagorno-Karabakh region. As Stefan Boss reports, lawyers argued that judges do not have jurisdiction.
Monday's procedures at the International Court of Justice in The Hague began amid a legal dispute linked to the long-standing tensions between Armenia and Azerbaijan that escalated into a 2020 war over the Nagorno-Karabakh region that left more than 6,600 people dead. The region is within Azerbaijan, but has been under the control of ethnic Armenian forces backed by Armenia since the end of a separatist war in 1994. Armenia filed a case at the International Court of Justice in 2021 accusing Azerbaijan of a state-sponsored policy of Armenian hatred. The country claimed that hatred has led to systematic discrimination, mass killings, torture and other abuse. Armenia's case is based on an international convention stamping out racial discrimination. That agreement has a clause allowing disputes to be resolved by the World Court if bilateral negotiations fail to broker a settlement. However, Azerbaijan on Monday urged the top United Nations court to throw out the case. Azerbaijani Deputy Foreign Minister Elnor Momadov told judges that Armenia could not bring the dispute to the court in The Hague, as the two countries had not first engaged in serious negotiations. However, Armenia has vehemently denied wrongdoing. It recalls that Azerbaijan waged a lightning military campaign in Nagorno-Karabakh last year that resulted in the vast majority of the region's 120,000 mainly Christian Armenian residents fleeing their homes. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, in The Hague, the Netherlands.
April the 15th marks the fifth anniversary of the devastating blaze that ravaged Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. The fire broke out just before 6:20 p.m., bringing down the cathedral's famous wooden spire, destroying most of the wooden roof and severely damaging the cathedral's upper wall. 2 days after the disaster, French President Emmanuel Macron vowed to have the Gothic masterpiece reconstructed within 5 years. Since then, restoration work has been in full swing, also thanks to many donors, and the church will be solemnly reopened on December the 8th in time for the Jubilee year. The restoration plans also include the installation of new modern-style stained glass windows in some of its chapels. Lisa Zingarini reports.
It is an iconic symbol of France's religious and cultural heritage worldwide, and the image of this masterpiece of Gothic architecture engulfed in flames has remained impressed in our collective memory. 5 years after the disaster, the reconstruction process is well on schedule, and the cathedral is set to be reopened on December the 8th with a solemn mass of consecration of the altar presided over by the Archbishop of Paris, Laurent Ulrich. The event will be preceded and followed by a number of initiatives running until the Pentecost in June 2025 during the Jubilee year. The restoration plans include the installation of new modern-style stained glass windows to replace the existing ones in six chapels on the south side of the church, which go back to the 19th century. The idea of replacing the old windows with stained glass designed by contemporary artists was launched last year by the Archbishop of Paris to leave a mark of the restoration work, he said. The proposal was endorsed by President Emmanuel Macron, although it has met with some criticism. The French government has recently appointed a committee of experts charged with selecting the projects presented by artists, which will have to meet very specific criteria. According to the specifications, the new stained glass artworks will have to produce a neutral light of the same nature, colour and intensity as that currently provided by the present windows and reflect the colours of the surroundings. However, unlike the current arrangement, they should be figurative and will have to depict the Pentecost, offering a sober representation of the event. The new stained glass windows will not be installed before 2026, but a prototype will be presented for the reopening of Notre Dame on December the 8th. I am Lisa Zingarini.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. You can also follow us on our Facebook, X, Instagram and website. My thanks go to Gabriele Di Domenico in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.